With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
The Last of Us episodes 4 and 5 are over, but we here at Posho Recaps are just getting started or continuing our first playthrough of The Last of Us. I am Brooklyn Zed here with my co-host Jess Sterling. Jess, any bloaters for you this week?
Not for me, but I heard there was one for you.
Yeah. Right off the bat, let's just set ourselves up here. We are recording episodes 4 and 5 of our playthrough together as one podcast. Because of the way our release schedule works, we would have dropped our episode 4 recap the day after episode 5 came out.
Yes,
that's correct. We are doing the 2 episodes together thanks to the Super Bowl. If you care about that, that happened yesterday as we are recording this. So I just finished playing episode 5 right before we recorded. So one other thing to note up top is that for this episode, I watched Endure and Survive, not to be confused with Endure and Let Go, before I played the game, because there was no way I could play the game and then watch the episode and then record all in the short span of time of this evening. How'd it go for you, Jess? You said you were telling me right before we jumped on that you switched to normal mode.
I did. So we'll get to the part that I did it in, but it basically what had happened was I was feeling more confident about my shooting. I was feeling like 9 times out of 10 when I was playing the looking for stuff game, I was already full up on things and also like couldn't make more. So I'd have like 3 health kits, 3 whatever Molotov cocktails. So I would get to the point where I just had so much stuff that I was like, I feel like I could handle normal mode now. The main reason I switched to it though was because when I found out that there was a whole section where you had a bloater and I didn't, I was like, well, now it feels like it's like too easy. I'm getting away with something almost. And so it was shortly after then that I decided to up the challenge difficulty on mine, just to make it a little bit more difficult for myself. Cause not that it was too easy, but it almost felt like, well, why am I bothering playing looking for stuff all the time when I already have all the stuff?
Although there are, or at least particularly in this last section that we just played, There are lots of notes to be found separate from resources and things. There's lots of like background story information to gather if you keep looking for stuff, even if your inventory is full.
Yeah, particularly in the section that I had already played last week, but we get to talk about it now because you played it this week, where you stopped just short of the Frank storyline.
Right.
So how did you feel about that? Because that was so different.
Dark way to start my playthrough.
Yeah.
With how the game handles Frank's demise, to put it lightly. To do that right at the very beginning of playing the game for 3 hours is like really brutal. Very, very tough. So like I can see what, you know, Josh and others have said about them kind of ending up better off in the show
Definitely.
Than they do in the game. Because at least it is, I guess, a mutual choice rather than Frank's solo decision that Bill has no part in and seems to have a lot of understandable, I think, anger about that he was left alone in this way. But the Bill and Ellie like interactions are just so good that you kind of have to like be okay with it and just keep going.
Yeah, I really liked the changes they made from game to screen. Obviously I'm a little biased in that I watched the show first, so that was what I experienced first. But it does like give a little bit more hope in the show than you're getting in the game, because Bill very much is this like hardened guy as a result of the situation with Frank, whereas I think in the show he has a little bit more empathy and he gets softened up a little bit more over time with being with Frank. And so I found that very interesting. But yeah, it is a really hard start to your playthrough when that's the storyline you're going off of. And I found it very annoying, the whole pushing the truck and then having to kill all these zombies, or excuse me, infecteds separately. I was like routinely getting annoyed. I'm like, I just want to kill all of them first and then push the truck the whole way.
Yeah. I was like jumping away from helping with the truck as soon as humanly possible to go deal with. I was like, more stuff's going to keep running out. Like, we'll get to the truck. Like, we got to deal with this first.
Yeah.
But then there are definitely other times in this section where it's like, okay, how about we just run? Like, let's just leave. This is too many. Let's go. And let's go now.
Yeah, let's just leave them. But we eventually leave Bill, and this is when we end up in Pittsburgh. So obviously a change from the show because they put it in Kansas City. But we're in Pittsburgh in the game, and this is where I left off, was after this cutscene, because obviously you can't, like, you're gonna have to watch the cutscene anyway. So I watched this cutscene. I was like, oh, okay, we're gonna be in Pittsburgh next time. You're immediately like thrown into a bunch of combat with these guys, basically exactly as it is on the show, where they like try to dupe you into thinking someone is injured. Joel knows right away what this is about. But they had wanted to like kind of cut through the city because they would have to back up for like miles back to get around the traffic.
Yeah, you know what? Back up. that's what I have to say.
I know. The only thing I was thinking, I'm like, I don't know how much gas he has. Like, you think he's taking, what is it called when you steal gas from another car? Like,
the
siphoning. You're siphoning gas like as you go, as much as you can. But how did you fare in this situation where you're kind of like sneaking around in Pittsburgh, killing these people that were like coming after you, and you come upon this, like, I don't even know what you'd call this, like, torture chamber area with like dead people on tables and stuff, which was not pleasant.
Yeah, definitely not ideal. I mean, anytime we're fighting like human enemies, it's, well, I would have said it's the worst, but I also really struggled with one particular onslaught of infected this week. But like the human enemies understandably become aware of your movements and are like tracking you down, and their behavior is impacted by your behavior. So I don't specifically remember everything about it, but I know I struggled a fair amount getting through all of like downtown, essentially. And I largely went with a like, wait in a corner for people to come to me and then I will grab them and strangle them strategy more than anything else.
We have fully, I think at this point we can safely say we have fully diverged in our strategies. I've noticed because I've been watching your streams. At least I watched the first one this week. I've noticed that at this point you are very much stealth mode strangle at all times if you can.
100%.
I am very much more of I want to get the perfect angle on someone so I could shoot at least the first guy with a headshot. And then I'll figure out the rest as I go with the other ones. Largely shooting if I can, mostly with my, I never remember the different types of guns. I'm so sorry. It's not the hunting rifle. It's the other large gun. That is the one
the
I like.
I think
it's a shotgun. Yeah. I've upgraded it as like as much as I can with the stuff I have for now, because that's my preferred gun. But that is usually what I will try to do because I'm also very impatient and I don't feel like stealthing around at this point to strangle them because 9 times out of 10, what happens is like, and it happened to you at some point too, where like you go to hit the triangle to grab them and something happens and
like,
that
doesn't let you.
Yes. And then they get notified of your presence. And I'm like, well, now I don't feel like punching them a bunch, you know, or whacking them with a stick.
I've definitely had to evolve my strategy a bit over time. I'm still doing a lot of that mode where I can, but this time also there was a fair amount of throwing the little like spiky bomb can.
Oh, things. The nail bomb thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I love those. I used some Molotovs to pretty intentional good effect this week.
Yeah.
But the shotgun also came into play because it's so powerful.
It's the best because you only have to shoot them like twice unless they have armor, which we'll get to that because I'm very upset about the armor situation. It's very annoying. But I will say I thought that Pittsburgh to me, and I know we spent some time in Boston, obviously in the city of Boston, but I don't know. Pittsburgh to me felt the most, world buildy, if that makes sense. Like it just, I especially loved the hotel section. I don't know why. I just found it fascinating because obviously we saw the hotel in the show earlier,
right?
In one of the first few episodes with Tess, but now we're in the hotel in Pittsburgh instead. It was something about it that like built the world very well for me. I think it's also the fact that we're fighting human enemies versus infecteds. And not just human enemies. We're not fighting the government. We're not fighting the cops like we were fighting like Fedra in Boston. Something feels very different about that for me.
Yeah. So it's interesting because in the show, they have these like added factions, it would seem. Like whatever group Melanie Lynskey is leading seems to be a fabrication of the show that doesn't really exist in the game, or certainly is not fleshed out to that degree. We know that Henry was a collaborator.
Yeah. Like an informant, basically.
Yeah. You all are informants, so inform, was a line that did kind of make me laugh really hard.
Yeah. And none of that is very present in the game, which is why I loved it so much in the show, because we're living this world through the NPCs we meet, the world around us, and notes we find. And so to give a little bit more of that and kind of expand on it in the show, I really appreciated, because I found myself, and maybe you to an extent too, because you watched the show first this week, but by the time we got to Henry and Sam, I was already so attached to them from the show that I found it even, I was even more attached to them in the game, even if I felt like their characters were way more underdeveloped in the game than they were in the show.
Yeah, I agree. I think the show, particularly with like the end of the episode, did a really great job with the Sam and Ellie relationship.
Yeah.
Do you know why Sam is deaf or mute?
Yeah.
And mute in the show versus the game?
Yeah, so I talked to my husband about it because he has both played the game and he's watching the show as well. And I tend to not watch the after the episode clips because I'm very nervous they will spoil the game for me. But he said that it was the showrunner who went to the game creator and had a discussion and said, what do you think about making Sam deaf? Because it will, like, first of all, it's just another obstacle for him, yeah, right, in this world. But it also will, like, make those moments between Sam and Henry even more intimate, because they're the only ones who can, like, you know, he can't necessarily speak to everyone without pulling out his little erasable pad. I forget what those things are called.
Yeah, his little,
right?
Like, magic Etch-a-Sketch pad that he
I
had.
Loved that. I thought that very was cool. Genius. But yeah, and I personally, I was really upset when I found out, like, oh, he's not deaf in the game. Like, I really thought that touch in the show was perfect. And I thought it really did add, and because it makes those characters even more tragic than they already are, where not only is this kid, like, deaf and forced to live in this, like, really scary, difficult world, but then also he had leukemia, and, like, his brother had to fight to get him the medication and do things that he wouldn't normally have done to save his brother. So, like, ethics kind of get, like, you know, blurred, morality gets blurred in a situation like that. So I really loved the characters of Sam and Henry, and I was very nervous to meet them in the game because I was like, are they gonna live up to the show's version of them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I still really loved them in the game, and getting to see Sam and Ellie, like, be kids together, as you're, like, walking through this really depressing sewer situation, where you find all these notes that I mentioned before from, like, Kyle and Susan and this guy Ish or whatever his name is.
Yes.
And how clearly things did not go well for any of them. And I think ultimately we learn that Kyle gets infected and he takes the kids out before they can turn. It's oh boy, but there's, like, drawings all over the walls and there's, like, rocking horses and all these kids things. And I was just very, very sad. I will say, yeah, when we got out and there were dogs, I was like, if you make me fight these dogs, I'm quitting.
The same thought. I turned to my husband and I was like, please don't tell me I have to kill these dogs, because Joel says to Ellie, don't go near those dogs. They're not like the dogs back in Boston.
Yeah. And I was like, great. I will not go near the dogs and I will not fight the dogs. Right. Right, game.
Yeah. Was not a fan of the potential of that.
Yeah. Because I kept hearing them bark and I was like, where are the dogs? I want to help the dogs.
Yeah. I thought they were going
to
attack us.
Not to help
the
dogs. Yeah.
That part was a little scary for me as well. But I will say I learned a fun new trick before we met Sam and Henry, when we were still going through, like, the hotel and we just got out of the hotel and you have to fight a bunch more guys. My favorite is waiting for a guy to try to pull out a Molotov cocktail and hit me with it and shooting him instead. And then he just explodes the Molotov cocktail on himself. That I found extremely rewarding. I very much loved it, because if you're going to try to kill me, I'm going to make you explode on fire instead. So that's a new little tidbit I got from having to deal with all these guys shooting at me as I'm trying to escape. Which I will say, even this was before I switched to normal mode, even on easy mode, I found there were moments where, like, I would run out of ammunition. So in the hotel, especially, there were times where I would run out of ammunition, like, mid-ish combat, sneak around, dig in drawers, find some ammo, continue the battle. Very nerve-wracking, but I kind of loved the stress of it.
Oh, I'm, like, regularly pulling ammo off of dead bodies as soon as humanly possible. And it never ceases to amuse me that they're dead. And then a literal box of ammo is what appears next to them on the ground. But even so, the biggest thing I think that I struggled with today was, when you're in the sewers and you're separated and it's Joel and Henry and they're separated from Sam and Ellie, and you kind of have to get ready for this onslaught of infected that, you know, are coming.
Yeah.
And okay, get ready is a phrase I never, ever need to hear again because of how many times I heard it today.
Yeah.
And when I finally beat it, after I don't even know how many times, after the game reminded me I could change difficulties if I wanted to, times I was doing
it's
it.
So insulting.
The game is very spicy
I really don't like that it's like, don't rinse traded enemies. It's like, I wasn't.
Yeah. Every once in a while I was, but usually I wasn't. And I'm like, leave me alone. I'm doing my best. It's like, don't forget, you could make this easier for yourself if you want to. It's really embarrassing how bad you're doing right now. And I was like, actually, I'm figuring out a strategy and it's going really well. So thanks. But after I
trial and error,
after I finally succeeded in killing them all, I definitely went around to every single body and collected all of the ammo I could. And I was like, if I die right now, because there's like one more guy coming while I'm picking up all this ammo, I will quit this game and never play again.
Runners,
you gotta resource management, man, in normal mode is important.
Runners continue to be my least favorite. I just don't enjoy how they run straight at me. Like with clickers, you can at least try to like hide from them and stuff, but the runners run at you so quickly and there's usually multiple of them running at you at the same time. So it's really hard for me to like get my bearings together to like attack them, whether I'm hitting them with something or shooting at them. So I really didn't enjoy that aspect of the like underground, situation, the sewers.
Yeah, there's also a moment where it's like Joel and Sam are together. It was fun how you got like different combinations of people throughout this section of the game.
Yeah.
And Sam is like, oh, there's infected coming, and a couple of runners are coming at you, but then there's one clicker that's just like swinging its arms around and the game like won't let you back away from it. And I died to that thing so many times. And I was like, I know it's coming. I'm trying to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And the game just won't let me do it.
I finally, I don't know if you're this way. I have a hard time like leaving an area before I feel like I'm finished. Mm-hmm. And finally I've gotten to the point where I'm like, all right, fine. If the game says run, I'll run, I guess. Because I don't enjoy the running aspect. Like when we had that tank with the turret on the top of it, I thought we were supposed to take the tank out. I tried throwing Molotov cocktails at it. I tried everything. And finally I turned to my husband. I'm like, can you just tell me like what I'm supposed to do here? And he's like, you just have to run. Like you have to get out of town. And I'm like,
you have to get past it.
Yeah, I don't enjoy the like running away from things thing, even though I know sometimes that is like the best strategy is to just run from them.
Yeah, well, and then occasionally I'm like, okay, can we run now? And the game's like, no, you have to keep fighting.
Yeah.
Particularly like towards the end of this section today, where you finally get to take charge of a sniper rifle, God bless. It like won't let you let go of the sniper rifle for the longest time. And I'm like, there's lots of things running now. I think we need to go. This takes so long. We are not going to shoot all of these. Like, bye.
Yeah, this was tough because we get to a bunch of houses where, like you said, we get a bunch more notes. And we're basically just like playing looking for stuff for a while through all of these houses.
In and out of every single house they would let me go in.
Yep. Upstairs, downstairs, everywhere. I really loved the small touch of, I'm not sure if you saw this. Did you see Ellie and Sam playing darts together?
Yeah. And then did you have Joel also throw a dart really poorly? Yeah.
Yeah. I wish they let me throw it. I would have done way better than he did.
I thought for sure they would, because my one experience, like running experience through all the various RPGs I've played, and this isn't an RPG, but still, of all the games I've played, is like there's always a mini game that's either fishing or darts.
Always.
Every single RPG loves either darts or fishing. You have to do one of them.
Yeah, no. And this time I was disappointed that
throw
we couldn't.
The darts. Nope. He's just going to throw it into the wall. Like, not even close.
He sucks at this. Oh, we also haven't talked yet about, because it's come up a bunch of times by this point in the game, Ellie's joke book. Big fan.
Yes.
I absolutely love it.
I mean, I'm definitely more of a Joel than an Ellie when it comes to these things. I'm 100% the person who's going to be irritated by the jokes. And my partner is certainly more of the Ellie who will make the jokes and then make the like, face at me. And I have learned the less I engage, the better it goes for me, because if I give them the satisfaction of being irritated about it, it's just going to keep happening.
Yeah. See, I'm definitely more the Ellie, considering if you are in our Posher Recaps Patreon Discord, I post weekly announcements. And at the end of a weekly announcement, there is always a joke. So People, this was something that I was told I can't look at a spoiler tag for a reason, and apparently the joke book is the reason. It was a reference to the joke book, which I really do love. There's some like knock knock jokes. It's very like cheesy, silly, childish jokes, but honestly, if I'm in like a situation like this, I feel like maybe the world needs a little levity, and so a joke book isn't that bad.
Diarrhea runs in your genes. Sure.
It's so good. But then we get to probably my favorite part. Well, I really loved Pittsburgh. I also really loved the suburbs chapter, which is what we're in now, where we're like, basically we're walking into town and there's a sniper rifle going off and we're like, oh, okay, well, now we got to sneak up on this guy and kill him.
Yeah, and that thing is aggressive.
He yells at you forever. I can see you.
I was like, first of all, no, you can't. There are so many walls between me and you.
I'm in a house. You can't see me, bro.
Like, you might know I'm in the house, but you can't literally see me. So please just leave me alone.
There was another time where I was hiding behind, I think, a wood pile. And he's like, come out from behind the car. And I so badly wanted to stand up and be like, I'm not behind the car. I wish I could shout back at the NPC. But did you take the, did you go left or did you go right to sneak up to the house?
I guess I went left. Ooh, I went all the way left. And along like the, well, so I went through a house that had some stuff in it. And then I went out of that house to the left and like in a little alleyway between some buildings and a fence, hiding behind like, I don't know, giant air conditioners and like piles of wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing my best. Cause like sometimes if you were not already at full health, you could get sniped one time and then all of a sudden you were just dead. And I was very frustrated by that fact.
See, I think at some point I have upped my maximum health. So like,
Me too.
Yeah. So
as soon as humanly possible, I was like, yeah, more health, please.
I know I got shot a bunch of times. I don't think it ever was enough to kill me with one shot. But I went to the right. So mm-hmm. I was going in every single house I could looking for stuff. Some houses had people in them. So I had to kill them, which was interesting. And then when I got really close to the sniper house, I got to go like under the foundation of a house and I found a buttload of gears, which I was very excited about. Because at this point I was playing on normal mode. And so I was like all about the looking for stuff. I need to stockpile at this point. But what I found super frustrating is that, so I get to the end and there's all the guys that come out of the house that you have to kill, whatever, great, easy. Then I get in the house and I was like, oh, I'm going to kill the guy at the top of the stairs first because that feels like logic. And then I'll get all the stuff out of the house, you know, then I'll loot the house because I'm like, well, what if
you got to loot on your way up.
But I was like, I don't want him to catch me.
I mean, if he catches you, you shoot him. So I tried to snipe him from a distance.
Oh, interesting.
Which you can't do, but which I was trying very hard to do.
Yeah.
Because on the left side, there's like a burned out building and you can go up a couple flights of stairs.
See him.
And so I think I said on the stream, you know, he's yelling like, what are you doing? And I was like, nothing. I'm just up here minding my own business. But then I could see where he was at through a window, like a, you know, a frame of what used to be a window. And I was trying to shoot him because in the first person shooter games I play, you could do that.
Yeah. This game someone in the
chat was, you're just wasting ammo. You have to go up there.
Yeah. Well, that was, so then I got really annoyed because I'm like, oh, I know he's going to be on the top level. That's where you would go if you're sniping. Mm-hmm. So I got all the way up there. I know the room he's in and I'm doing the thing where I'm all the way crouched and I go all the way to the left and I look at the like angle I can. And then I go all the way to the right and I look at the angle that I can. And I'm like, I don't
Jess
see
Jess is literally
him.
Moving around the microphone as she's doing this in case you can't tell on the podcast, but you probably can.
Like this. So I'm getting very frustrated because I'm like, where is he? And Will's like, oh, well, you have to go in. And I'm like, it's going to be a stupid cutscene. And I walk in and they make me stand up and get caught by the guy. And I'm like, game, that wouldn't have happened if you let me play how I play because I'm sneaky.
Yeah, because I saw where the sniper rifle was and he wasn't at it.
Exactly.
And I was like, because he knows I'm in the house. Because also, I think I shot somebody in the first floor of the house.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went all the way up and he's like waiting just around the corner of the door to grab you as soon as you walk through.
Yeah, very different than the game where it's just an old man and he's sitting there and Joel's like, don't make me do it. Yeah. Oh, sorry, on the show. Yes, on the show where Joel's like, don't make me do it. And he ends up having to kill the guy. Like, very, very different situations.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But then my favorite part, and it sounds like yours too, was getting to control the sniper.
Oh, God bless.
It was
yeah,
so fun.
It was a bit of a challenge. I learned that for me, actually being zoomed out was better than being zoomed in because I had better awareness of
interesting
where the guys were coming from so that I could get them in time.
Yeah.
Because I actually made it, I think, pretty close on the very first attempt. And I think it was literally the last guy who got there before I could get him. But then I was like, yeah, okay, this is what I'm good at. Give me a sight, give me a dot. I will shoot the things. I wish it went a little faster, but fine.
I know reloading every single time was very frustrating, but I will give the game credit. Like, I thought it was interesting that, because I had a few different scenarios where one of them died, whether like one was Ellie, one was Henry. So I thought it was really interesting that they showed like a tiny cutscene of them dying when they did. And it was very theatrical because it like would zoom in on that happening in that particular way. So I thought that was really fascinating. And it didn't feel as punishing when that happened because I got to see something that I wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But I did improve on the sniper. I think I was better off zoomed in on people, but I think it took me a minute to figure out I could zoom in further than I already was.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. It was tricky because when they're running, it's like, oh, you have to shoot for where they're gonna be, not where they are.
Yeah. Because otherwise, if you waste the shot, well, then you're gonna lose their position while you're reloading and have to find them again. So the timing was definitely tricky. The hardest part for me, for sure, was shooting the guy throwing Molotovs out of the tank. Because also you really only get like three tries and then it's too late. And he pops up for like a hot second.
That was where I zoomed in like all the way. I think it took me two tries to get it. Yeah. Maybe I was feeling, maybe I was like a little bit lucky there as well. But like, I agree, like getting him is, because it took me the first time of not doing it to understand like what I was even supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, and then you kind of see, but then it's like, okay, then you can, which that was cool because you kill the Molotov throwing guy and the whole tank just runs in your house.
I liked also that we were doing kind of like a handful of different things all with the sniper rifle. Although as soon as the tank started coming, I was like, do I shoot the tires out? Like, do I need to break the glass in the front?
That's what
like,
I tried to do too.
And I think that's part of why I failed at one point was because I got too distracted by the tank to be focusing on the like individual guys. I was like, they have guns down there. They can shoot those guys. And I will use my giant, powerful sniper rifle to shoot at the freaking tank that's rolling down the street.
Yeah.
Because they can't do anything about that. No, you have to deal with the guys first and then deal with the tank.
Yeah. And to that point, like after we get the tank situated and not have to worry about it, then we get these like these hordes of runners. And I just like I panicked because I don't even know how you like choose who to shoot at when there's so many of them. And they're even faster than the humans with their guns because they're runners. They run. And so that was like very difficult. And I was like, there's no way the game expects me to kill all these. Right. Like,
I was so like, please just let me go. Like, it's clear we're not doing this. Like, let me leave.
Yeah.
There's clickers coming. I want nothing to do with them. Get me out of here. Multiple clickers remains like the biggest challenge. Like, I know we're kind of jumping around story-wise, but going back to that wave of runners and clickers that comes when you're working with Henry, the only thing that ultimately allowed me to succeed was climbing on the table because they could like kind of wound me, but the clickers couldn't just grab me.
Because
I would get so frustrated, I'd like lay out my nail mines and then I'd throw Molotovs and I'm shooting my shotgun and I've got my like enhanced bat with a pointy thing on it.
Yeah.
So I'm doing everything I can to be able to like fight a clicker because once they get you, and that's really annoying. But it would still be like I'm shooting two of them in front of me and one comes up and gets behind me. Or my melee weapon breaks in the middle of fighting a clicker. So then I still lose to the clicker. And I'm like, come on. How many? Yeah. I'm doing so many things at once. Work with me just a little bit.
I think at that point in the underground, that underground part, I was still on easy mode. So I didn't have to deal with, I believe I only had to deal with like one at a time at that point, to my memory at least. But in like, I usually will pull up the walkthrough when we're talking here on the podcast, just so I'm making sure I'm not skipping any scenes or anything going on. And I have a question because I'm seeing something I'm fairly certain I didn't see when I played. In the hotel, did you encounter a new type of infected?
No, I don't think so. So I've encountered two bloaters, one in the gym, which I believe you also got, even on easy mode. And then a second one when you start the generator that's theoretically spawns from the mushroom hallway, but you have to run through the mushroom hallway to get to where you scan the key card. So it can't spawn in there because you would have to run past it. Anyway, I have seen those two bloaters. And other than that, I don't think I've seen anything else.
Okay. I don't know what this walkthrough is talking about unless
is
it's
this
on
in
higher...
Pittsburgh or the suburbs.
This is in Pittsburgh, so apparently there's a fourth type that neither of us have encountered, but that does exist in the hotel basement.
Thank you.
So didn't encounter that, but that was the whole portion where you're like swimming underwater. It's after you and Ellie get it's in a very similar, it's right before the bloater in the sewer system in the basement. Which is interesting. So I don't know when we're gonna encounter that. I assume at some point.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I see what you're looking at.
Yikes. Don't know what that thing is. But yeah, like to that point, while we're still talking about the hotel again, like I loved the getting to see what a hotel would look like. This long after, like, no one has done anything with it. Like, the mm-hmm. fact that you're moving this giant piano to basically just climb on top of it and get up to another level of the hotel is very fun. But yeah, I really liked the Pittsburgh portion. I'm so confused by you not getting this one on normal mode. Unless you somehow avoided it.
Unless I have, yeah. So I think we should just like talk Let's about what we're say. Talking about.
If you're looking at it, yeah.
It says that they're called stalkers. But if they like aesthetically don't look different,
they have like blood on their hands. I feel like I would have maybe noticed that.
Use melee weapons if you can't get the timing down to land a headshot. But the thing is, like,
to get the drop on us, apparently.
Yeah, but if you can't, it says you'll be fighting 5 in this section. So I feel like I must have had to fight them. But if they can't, like, auto kill you the way that a clicker can, they're not going to stand out to me as super different.
Maybe we just thought they were, like, runners or clickers or something.
Yeah,
like
I probably thought they were runners that I just didn't hear. Because yeah. I'm regularly like, where did that guy come from? How is that thing shooting at me? Like, what's going, you know?
Yeah.
So it might just be a lack of observation on my part.
And how did you handle, we had two different times this playthrough where we had to use a pallet and move it around so Ellie could hop on board and get across the water, which I always find just so very fun to try to maneuver something massive in this game.
Yeah, I don't want to ever do it. I don't care if I'm doing it so that I can climb on a thing to get on a thing, mm-hmm. or if I'm doing it because Ellie can't swim. And she's like, and the most recent time she's like, oh, this again. And I'm like, well, you haven't learned to swim since the last time we did this. So do you have another suggestion? Because we're going to do this. So sorry that I'm like swimming through sewer water to help you. And you want to complain about it.
Yeah. The part that cracked me up the most, because I did watch you play that part, was when you have the section where you have to go swim out to get a pallet. There's like a bus and you have to like help Ellie get on the pallet to then jump up on the bus and go, whatever. I found it funniest that like you're swimming out to get the pallet. There's like a full-on tank just driving by and like they could potentially see you. You're just like, I don't even care. I'm grabbing this pallet and I am going. Meanwhile, I went full-on underwater because I was like paranoid. For some reason, it's like I know these ones aren't cops technically, right? Because they're just like, they're the people who overthrew the cops. Yeah. I'm still most nervous about the cops that were at the very beginning of the game over everything else. And I don't exactly know why.
They have lights on all their guns.
Maybe that's partly what it is.
And that was
lights.
Also a challenge this time, too, as you're like, not the sniper part. It was somewhere else. But where there was also like a light. I think it was like right after you get out of the sewers and there's people outside.
Yeah.
And there is like a searchlight. And like anytime there's a searchlight, it's just gonna be hard.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of the searchlight. But back to the Henry and Sam of it all. I liked the cutscenes. I felt like it was interesting. Like, Joel and Henry seemed to bond more in the game than on the show.
Yeah.
I what do you think of the choice? Because in the game, Sam and Ellie are the same age. They're like very, very close in age. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the show, it's very obvious to me that Ellie is much older than Sam.
Yeah. Well, and I think maybe I wasn't paying as close attention as I should have been, but I thought, and to my discredit, I put the episode on and I wasn't looking at the TV right away. So I didn't realize that there was like a nonverbal conversation happening.
Oh, yeah.
But I had thought, like, with the age difference, that Henry was Sam's father. And so then when I was playing the game and he was like, that's my brother. I was like, is he your brother?
No, listen, I had the same thought. It took me until Henry saying, that's my brother, to be like, wait a minute, that's not his son? Because they look like they could be father and son. Like, even in the
on the
game,
show, the age difference, especially. Yes. I don't know. I was getting big, like, big Walt and Michael vibes from Lost.
Yeah, I think that what maybe should have cued me into it and on it was in the show when Sam wants to eat and they only have like the one can left and they're in hiding and he like slams on the ground and he's like, I'm hungry. And Henry's like, no. Like, and the way he says no felt more brotherly on reevaluation of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely thought they were father's son for the longest time.
And that can kind of happen too if like you're the older sibling and you've ended up in like a supervisor parental type role just due to these circumstances. He's doing everything he can to keep his brother alive and take care of him, and that is no easy thing to do, especially if you are not actually a parent and little more than a kid yourself. I can't remember if it was in the show or they certainly said it in the game that he was 5 when
Henry
Outbreak Day happened. Yeah. Yes. So he's 25 now. Which, to be fair, if Sam is then Ellie's age, there is a 9-year age gap between them. Although obviously that is not a parental amount of time. It is significant.
Yeah. And, it's interesting because in the, like you said, in the game, there's not as much buildup to like their personalities, but something that is a huge difference, and I'm very thankful for this difference, is that in the game, it is not the case that Henry has never shot someone. Henry has a gun and knows how to shoot. It was more of like a, they had him want to be, he's like, oh, I want to join up with the Fireflies. I have a group. We're supposed to be meeting up with them. It was very much like a, hey, you all can come with us if you want. Whereas in the show, it's much more like we need each other in order. Yeah. Like, we know the route. You have the guns and the know-how to kill things. And I was like, if they're really going to send me up with 2 extra NPCs I got to care for that don't know how to shoot, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. It was great to have some help in this section of the game for a while. And I also really liked that in the show, we had moments of Ellie stabbing clickers.
Yes.
The way that she certainly has done for me in the game to a very exciting effect. So it was really satisfying to see that specific thing happen on the show too.
Yeah. And something else I'm curious about, because in the, it's different points in the game and the show, but there is the moment where Ellie shoots someone to save Joel. And in the show, she says, that's not the first person I've killed. But in the game, it doesn't say that. So I'm wondering if we're waiting on that line or if they just, it was something added into the show. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, oh, that's an interesting like background note to get from Ellie on the show that we didn't hear from her in the game.
Yeah, that's a smart observation. I'm not sure. There's so many little things that have been changed. Like, you can see the general fidelity to the game for sure. But also like this final moment with Ellie and Sam where she says, my blood is medicine, and then cuts her hand. Hi. If
the
you're
worst
gonna cut
spot
your-
to cut.
Right. If you're going to cut yourself to bleed on purpose, don't cut your hand. It's never going to heal because there is no part of your body that you move more and like bend and open and stretch the skin than the freaking palm of your hand. You could pick anywhere else and it would be a better choice. And it annoyed me to no end in that moment when she
I screamed
that.
The same things that when I tell you that I scream this on every television show I've ever seen where they're making like some kind of blood oath
blood
and
pack,
decide they're going to like shake hands. No, cut your leg, cut your forearm, cut anywhere else besides the palm of your hand. But yeah, it's even more heartbreaking. Because Ellie, he tells Ellie, and Ellie thinks that maybe she can help. And I think
she's scared and he doesn't know what to do. And so she like confides in him, like, look, this happened to me, but I'm okay. My blood is medicine, which no one has told her. She has just kind of like, you know, decided to believe this as a kid, you know. She's like, that must be why I'm okay. So let me make this sacrifice for you so that you can be okay. And then clearly Sam wants her to stay up all night with him because he's afraid of what will happen.
Yeah.
If she falls asleep, and then she falls asleep.
Yeah, it's really brutal. I don't know. I mean, it's obviously different in the game where he doesn't tell her at all.
Yeah.
She leaves and then he reveals his leg, which we see is bitten. Obviously there's a little bit of foreshadowing with him being like, oh, do you think they're still in there? Do you think there's still a mind? Is there a heart? Is there a soul? And it's really tragic. I don't know. I honestly don't know which one is more tragic. They're both really brutal. Especially because they still end up in the same end result where, I don't know if you saw this coming. But the moment that Sam attacked Ellie and Henry shot Sam, I knew what was going to happen next. And I like the whole, I'm just like, no, like watching the TV, like hoping it won't happen, but just like knowing there's no other way it's going to end.
Yeah, it's really, really brutal. And it goes like, and you like see the blood pouring across the floor. And like, my brother's name is Sam. And I'm just like a wreck watching this happen. And you do, you know exactly what's going to happen next, because they've fleshed out Henry so clearly in this short period of time that we've spent with him. And it cuts right from that then to them like finishing burying these two people, which also is really significant, right? In this world where like there's bodies all over the place.
And they're taking the time and the danger of like
time consuming project.
Yeah. To bury them, that really is a big deal. I really loved that as a touch on the show. It's wild because when you think about the fact that both in episodes 3 and 5 of the show, we are introduced to and lose two characters in each of those that feel so ingrained in the show, that feel like a part of the fabric of the show, in such a way that it is such a big loss at the end. Yeah. That's very, very impressive that a show could do that. I don't know if I have as much of an emotional attachment to the game characters if I don't watch the show first. I can't know that because that's not the order I did it in. But I will say, like, it certainly made me care about them more because in my head, Sam had leukemia and Henry made sacrifices for his brother to save his life. And he, like, basically gave up everything, became someone he didn't want to be, and what was it, a collaborator? Like he didn't want to do that. That was not what he wanted to do.
And I like the way that the show has fleshed out, like, you know, Joel immediately is like I don't work with rats. And Henry says, well, today you do because I live here and you don't, so you don't really have a choice. But that then later Joel is like, look, I'm sorry. I don't know your whole situation. You know, I made snap judgments, which is also kind of understandable in their circumstances. Like, you don't have a lot of time to trust people and wait and see if that pans out or not. I think it is a big deal that he apologizes and it's like, look, we've all got stuff and we've all got to deal with our stuff and like however we can. And we do see them bond in the show in a way that I feel like we don't necessarily in the game. But I also like Ellie saying, he'll come around. Eventually he's always like, yeah, you can come with us if you want.
Yeah.
And she wasn't wrong.
And I do love that. Both in the game and the show, it's very much Ellie who is like, come on, we can do this all together. You know, like there's enough room in Wyoming for all of us. Mm-hmm. And I do think without Ellie, 0% chance Joel ever collaborates with Henry and Sam. And I love them as like if we're looking at Bill as a version of what Joel could have become, right? I'm talking mostly game Bill, as like a version of what Joel could have become. I do think Henry is like another version of Joel where he is, you know, Sam, or Ellie is his Sam. And I like that we're meeting, even if I'm hoping not every single character we meet has a tragic ending. But even if their endings are tragic, it's very helpful to see also Joel interact with another adult because he hasn't really since Tess. So that's been really nice too.
Gotta not ever get attached to anyone on this show other than Joel and Ellie, clearly, because it feels like none of them are long for this world. But it was fun to see the relationship between Joel and Henry, in addition to the relationship between Sam and Ellie. And I just knew, I knew when she put his board down on top of his grave that it was going to say, I'm sorry. Oh. And it was still such a punch in the gut. Like,
yeah,
I wonder if we'll see kind of like probably not so much in the game, but if in the show we will deal at all with, I imagine, what is going to feel like a tremendous amount of guilt for this kid to be like, he trusted me and I tried to help him and I failed in a way that had really, really, really intense consequences.
Yeah.
That is a lot for anybody to have to deal with, let alone a 14-year-old kid, even if she has already dealt with all these other things.
I mean, yeah, it's just more to the pile, right? Like, it's even still, we have to imagine that Ellie lived a fairly sheltered life within Boston, right?
Yeah. Like she was at the Fedra school.
Exactly. She had never been outside of the gates. She had never seen the wilderness. She had never been exploring. Like, she got bit. I forget what she even said. Like, they were looking at some abandoned building or something like that. And that's how she got bit. So it's not like she's had all of these experiences of like death and loss in this such dramatic way. We know her parents are dead. We don't know how, when that happened. We don't know how old she was, if she saw it happen. We don't know any of those things, but we do know like how much loss she suffered as a result of leaving Boston.
Sure.
And I can't, and like you said, it was such a joy to see. I feel like the Ellie Sam content was different from show to game because it felt a little bit more like mentor-y in the show, but it was such a joy to see Ellie just getting to be a kid with like another kid, like laughing and playing. Especially they pulled it straight from the game too, where Henry's like, oh, I haven't heard him laugh like that in like a really long time.
Yeah. Or like he's smiling. Like, this kid never smiles. And similarly, we get these endearing moments with Ellie, where she's like, oh, first time on a boat. And Joel's like, it's a little different when they're in the water. And she's like, listen, you know, I got to take what I can get here.
Yeah. So, yeah. And where we leave off this chapter is like, we skip a bunch of traveling because I think it said it's fall now, right?
Yeah, it's fall.
And it's fall and we're seemingly in Wyoming, question mark. So
yeah, I don't know. Jackson County, which I feel like honestly could be anywhere.
Could be anything. I think it's Wyoming.
I will say in the game, it looks awfully like verdant, like very green and lush. And well, I haven't been to Wyoming, but I've been to Nebraska, which I think is just Wyoming's like the one state I can never remember where it is. I think it's between Oklahoma and Nebraska. The states over there are very rectangular and very flat and very boring.
They all look the same, in your defense, because I suck at geography. It's next to Idaho for sure. Yeah.
It's next to where I thought it was.
it's south of Montana. It's east of Idaho. It's like above Colorado.
There could be some mountains there, I guess. It's probably not as flat as I'm imagining it to be. But it's just one of those square,
Yellowstone National Park is there.
The easier it is to draw, the harder it is to live there, is the joke that I have heard made before.
I've heard that too. I've heard that the squiggle states are the most interesting. Wyoming.
Having been to a number of rectangle states, they're pretty boring.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So squiggle states are where it's at. You heard me. New York, California. You're all welcome. Your squiggles. Welcome to the club. but yeah. So I think they're in Wyoming. I don't know exactly where, like, what town they were. You said Jackson County or something like that. But so we've skipped. Like, if we're looking at a map, right? We saw them in Kansas City, Missouri, right? That's the last spot they stopped, which is on the edge of Missouri and Kansas. So they have seemingly traveled either
across.
Through...
Well, let me tell you, I can tell you for sure, driving across Kansas, not interesting.
Well, maybe that's why they didn't run into anything, because it was just farms. So maybe we're happy we skipped that part.
Yeah, but they had to go through either Nebraska. I am now looking at a map.
Yep.
They had to go through either Nebraska or Colorado to get to Wyoming, right, if that is in fact where they are now.
Yeah, versus on the show, we stop in Pittsburgh, or excuse me, in the game.
In the game.
We're in Pittsburgh.
We haven't made it very far in the game at all.
No. If we're going to pop up in Wyoming, then we made it really far.
Well, yeah. In the game, they traveled 600-700 miles in the first day, and we haven't moved since. Whereas in the show, I feel like we kind of saw Pittsburgh briefly and then kept it pushing and made it to Kansas City.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we have jumped from still Pittsburgh essentially to all of the sudden, being in Wyoming, then that's a lot of time and journeying that the game just kind of skips.
Yadas. Yeah. I mean, I guess I was thinking, oh, well, Wyoming is the ending, right? Like Wyoming is where we end up. But now it feels like, oh, I'm only halfway through the game and we're possibly in Wyoming. Okay. There's a lot more left to go, I guess. So I guess we'll see what happens when we start up seemingly in Wyoming next week. Before we sign off, I do want to point out, because we mentioned a little bit Melanie Lynskey. Obviously, she is a show creation. There isn't a character like her in the game. I was extremely taken with her character, as short-lived as she was. I love Melanie Lynskey as a fan of the Yellow Jackets show. I absolutely adore her. And I saw her tweet something that I just thought was so perfect that I just wanted to give it a little bit more. If no one has seen this tweet, go follow her on Twitter or take a look. It was so perfect, Zed, and I feel like you'll appreciate this too. Where she said
it was something about the gay energy, right?
Oh, well, that is something else. Yes, she did say that too. That was very funny, where someone was like, oh, I can't believe Melanie Lynskey would be on that show or whatever, because there was the gay romance in episode 3. But no, she had tweeted out that she thought that the most exciting thing about her being cast is that it suggested the possibility of a future in which people start listening to the person with the best ideas. Not the coolest or the toughest person, the organizer, the person who knows where everything is, does the planning, can multitask, the one who's decisive. Women, and especially women in leadership positions, are scrutinized incessantly. Her voice is too shrill. Her voice is too quiet. She pays too much attention to how she looks. She doesn't pay enough attention to how she looks. She's too angry. She's not angry enough. It's a really long tweet, so go check it out. But I love that Melanie Lynskey has a very soft-spoken energy about her, and I appreciated that she was cast in this role as the leader, the organizer, the person in charge,
the badass, rebel. Yeah,
you got what she was coming to her for sure. The tiny was it a clicker or a runner child? Horrifying, absolutely horrifying. The gymnast. Yeah. Child. Ugh.
Well, also, this is where we finally see on the show a bloater, and I'm like, hi, I've been dealing with these for weeks.
Yeah, but wasn't it cool though?
Yes, although I couldn't believe after so he comes out and he rips off the head of her right hand man, and I couldn't believe after she'd managed to get away from that she was still okay, and I still have to shoot you, Henry. I was like, seriously? There are bigger fish to fry here than this one guy.
Yeah, well, the best part about seeing the bloater on screen, in my opinion, was seeing that he ripped the guy's head apart just as he rips Joel's head apart in the game. It was literally the same exact thing. It was great. But yeah, shout out to Melanie Lynskey. We didn't mention her much because we're mostly covering the game here, but I do love her, and I thought she played that role to perfection, because it's hard. There are bad people on both sides. It's really hard when morality is so gray in this world, where she's upset because her brother was killed, and seemingly these people who were in Fedra are maybe bad, but maybe not all of them are bad, and maybe some of them are just trying to get by.
And she says something to the effect of, do you really think this one kid is worth all these other people dying, or like something to yes. that effect. And yeah, for Henry, the answer is yes. I just saw Knock at the Cabin this weekend, and it's that's the premise of the entire movie. Is like, I think the log line is like, save your family or save the world. You have to like make a choice or something.
Yeah.
And that is sort of the situation that, you know, that she's arguing here, is like, you trying to save your one friend, your brother, you trying to save one person was like catastrophic for all these other people. And it's like, yeah, but he's the one person I care about. So to me, that does matter more
yeah.
than literally everybody else.
And he's just a kid. Like, that's the worst part of all yeah. of it, is like, he is just a kid. And it's like, they're the innocents, right? Like, they're the most innocent you could possibly be. The world hasn't scarred them yet. It hasn't jaded them at all yet. And yeah, it's sad. It's like, it's so real. And that's why I appreciate that in the show, they do give more world like context, right? Where we are meeting people in Fedra, and we are meeting some of the people that have led this uprising in Kansas City, to give more context to the world and just like make it, build the world out even bigger. I really, really loved that aspect as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, next up, we're going to be seemingly in Wyoming. We're going to be in the fall, which I'm excited for a change of the seasons. Why not? Sounds great.
Yeah, we have endured. We have survived. The next episode is called Kin.
I don't know about that. That sounds like we're going to get devastated again.
Yeah, I know. I can't deal. I can't deal with all these people that you make me love and then kill right in front of me every single week. It's too much.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, but that's going to do it for us this week. Jess, what else do you have going on?
Here on Pusher Recaps, you can hear me talking about Community over on Community Building. National Treasure is over, but you can check out all that coverage I did with Marissa Garza. And of course, always on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, we are covering Dawson's Creek. And then we recently talked about the movie Speed, which gave me great anxiety, and I never will watch again. I don't ever need to see that movie again. Too many chasing things exploding. Is what I would say. There's my review. You can find me at The Jess Sterling on Twitter. What about you, Zed?
I am at Hard Rock Hope, wherever you can find me on the internet, including twitch.tv/HardRockHope, where you can watch me playing this game that we just spent the last hour talking about. I do stream other things, although right now my computer screen is broken, so I struggled through it for the sake of Mushroom Mondays. Other games are going to wait until my screen solution arrives, which hopefully will be in the next couple days. But if you have any funds you want to donate towards Zed fixes their computer so they can stream more stuff, my Venmo is also Hard Rock Hope, and all donations are greatly appreciated. But you should also join the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord at patreon.com/postshowrecaps, where you can talk to us about the game, about the show. You can talk to people who already know what's going to happen in the game, just not us. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Support the arts, as we say here. And that's going to be it for us this week. Stay safe out there. Enjoy the fall. Look out for stalkers, apparently, because we didn't know they were there. And we will see you next week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.